I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Tiger Rampant, Rich and Recelebrated. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce. He's at NPR in Washington for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The magical run of the Cinderellas from Florida Gulf Coast University has come to an end. The first 15 seed to make the Sweet 16 did not survive Florida, but the team did inspire their own rap song. Let's give it a listen, see what you think of it.
Never heard of us, but we knocking teams out. 20-point lead, but I know you see us now. See
you like that? What do you think?
I think it's definitely deaf and dope and fly and fresh, as the kids say.
You're supposed to say it's got a beat, I can dance to it, I give it an 8.
I'm not that old.
I am. All right, meanwhile, FGCU's athletic director has admitted that he's worried about shouldering the costs of the team's unexpected tournament success. The Eagles broke even on the first two rounds of the tournament, but I got to imagine any losses are going to be offset by increased applications for admission, because you still have to put a check in that application, don't you?
Yes, and the fact that the coach is a Wall Street gazillionaire turned basketball coach ought to help a little, too.
Those whose brackets haven't already been busted felt another sting on Thursday night when number one seed Indiana fell to Syracuse. This has got to be the most topsy-turvy tournament you've ever seen, right?
Yeah, this is a tournament full of really good teams, but no really great team.
The Associated Press, in an attempt to shake up the women's tournament, has floated the idea of a mythical March Madness of one-on-one games between the coaches. So what do you say of the potential matchup of UConn's Gino Auriemma, who only played in high school and junior college, against South Carolina's three-time Olympian Dawn Staley?
I think Dawn Staley wins that one big. I think Gino's got real problems.
On Wednesday night, the Miami Heat's win streak was broken at 27 by the Chicago Bulls, a team hovering around 500. Were you sad to see the streak end?
A little bit. I wish they had gotten a little bit closer to the Lakers, since the Lakers seemed to be perfectly content with it. Jerry West came out and said that what the Miami was trying to do was harder than what they had done and so forth. But, yeah, it would have been fun to get them around to 29 or 30.
Jerome Iginla, late of the Calgary Flames, has joined the Pittsburgh Penguins as of Wednesday. Is this a case of the rich not only getting richer, but maybe improving enough to win the Stanley Cup?
I think so, but you got to remember, the Penguins are still only a few years distant from having been bankrupt, so I don't know what rich and poor means in the NHL anymore. This certainly does improve them and does give them another leg up. What was interesting, of course, is this whole trade, it looked like he was going to Boston for a while,
and the whole thing
blew up in the middle.
All right. Quick quiz for you. Who will make more money this year? Injured Yankee Alex Rodriguez, who won't even play for the entire first half of the season, or the whole Houston Astros roster?
Oh, that's a trick question. It's Alex Rodriguez, of course.
Yes, it is. He wins $29 million to $25 million. I find that statistic rather extraordinary.
That's going to go down in history. I mean, I thought the Vernon Wells contract was the worst contract in the history of sports. The A-Rod contract is going to go down as the worst contract in the history of sports.
Meanwhile, Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander said earlier this spring that he wouldn't discuss a new contract after the season began, and so, in the waning days of spring training, he signed a deal worth as much as $202 million. Is Mr. Verlander worthy of being the best-paid pitcher in the game?
No question about it. I mean, if anyone is worth every dime of one of those contracts, it's him.
In NFL contract news, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is reportedly close to a deal that would make him the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. Any advice for Mr. Rodgers on what he might do with his $25 million a year?
Yes, bank as much of it as you can, because as we know, NFL contracts are not worth the paper they're printed on.
True enough, even for quarterbacks. Robert Griffin III, quarterback for the NFL team in Washington, D.C., showed that he is well on his way to recovering from knee reconstruction surgery this week. What do you think of his new receiver?
I think the receiver is probably in there mostly for its blocking, but it showed a deft trunk or something. Yeah, I threw it to a circus elephant named Kelly. Did anyone check and see if the elephant's toes were in bounds, by the way?
All right, Charlie, I'd like to offer a tip of the only game cap to Cornell's Kyle Dake, who won another NCAA wrestling title this week, thereby becoming the first guy to win 4 championships at 4 different weights. What a shame that we might not be able to see him in the Olympics beyond 2016, don't you think?
Yeah, this is the worst decision the IOC's made in years. And good for Kyle Dake. I hope he, settles on a weight sometime before he graduates.
Finally, Charlie, exceptionally accomplished former NBA coach Phil Jackson has found his way to the Twitter machine, and his first tweet consisted of just 24 characters. 7 of those 24 characters were typos. I assume he has a good excuse.
Well, I mean, so that means that, 17 of 24 is good? I mean, you shoot 17 for 24, you've had a heck of a game.
Yeah, plus he was typing with 11 championship rings on his fingers, which can't have been easy. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places, and he joins me each week here on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill.
Last week, after my conversation with W.P. Kinsella, I invited listeners to visit us on Facebook and tell us about their favorite baseball books. Chris Garniost likes Mr. Kinsella's Iowa Baseball Confederacy. Joe Stockslater enjoyed Waiting for Teddy Williams by Howard Frank Mosher, whom I interviewed several years ago, which is how Mr. Stockslater learned of the novel. Mark Knopfnagel made a pitch for Chad Harbach's The Art of Fielding, and Paul Bauer, good on you for touting Brendan Boyd's Blue Ruin, of which Mr. Bauer said, I defy anyone to read the opening paragraph and put the book down. A couple of other listeners mentioned baseball-related short stories they liked, James Thurber's You Could Look It Up, and Kinsella's How I Got My Nickname.